your love, your goodness to us. Lord, how your anointing just flows upon us. Lord, the oil is dripping. Hallelujah. God, thank you that we didn't miss it. Thank you, God, that we do know. And thank you, Lord, we'll be there. And Lord, thank you again for an ear that hears what the Spirit saith to the churches. And Lord, specifically that Philadelphia church. God, thank you. This word, your faithful word, you, Jesus, you're keeping us in tune. The power of your might has us alive and ready. Lord, we're not slumbering anymore. We know the bridegroom cometh. He skippeth o'er the hills. Oh, how you love us. And oh, we're listening for that call. The archangel, the trumpeter's voice. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Lord, bring that more and more in its reality to our hearts today. All by your Spirit, the truth and love that you have given. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19, come to a precious portion of Scripture. Elijah has just confronted the 450 prophets of Baal. And they were going to kill him and different things. And he said, you know, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And God shows himself so mighty and faithful. Those prophets, they cut themselves and yelled and screamed, trying to get their sacrifice that was on that altar from fire to come down to consume it. I love how it was said, well, maybe your God is busy going to the bathroom. That's saying it nicely. Elijah gets up there in the name of the Lord God of hosts. Puts all that water multiple times on that altar, dousing it. Impossible for it to be consumed with fire. But he calls upon the name of the Lord and whoosh, gone. Mighty. Goes on and takes those 450 prophets and he kills each and every one of them. That's a victory. But today's message is called the tipping point. And how quickly we can get to the tipping point. So all of that has just transpired. All of that mighty revelation, power, demonstration, truly, of the Holy Ghost. The power of God. And we come to verse 19, and here's what happens about this story. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, all of this killing of those prophets, all the things that God had done for Elijah, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord. Think of how dramatic Elijah's getting before God. All of this glory has just happened. And here's this woman telling him, well, I'm going to take your life now. And in a moment, that quickly, it completely moves from great faith to great unbelief. And he faces a tipping point right here. He requested for himself to die. It's enough now, O Lord. Take away my life. I'm no better than my father's. And he lay and he slept under a juniper tree. Behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked and beheld there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and he did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meal, one meal, 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. So here we have Elijah, God's man, God's prophet, and he hits the tipping point. And brothers and sisters, I want you to know this. This is the point that all of us come to. It's the place that we, in many respects, we never thought it was even possible that I would get there. Do you think Elijah had any idea that after all of that glory, within 24 hours, he would be despairing of his own life and fearful after what God had done and what God had shown him? And I'm not talking about, again, the tipping points of times in our life that there's success. The thing that I'm speaking of today is of the deep valleys of disappointments. I'm talking about when we have complete breakdowns. The place of Elijah right here, how could he be such a failure? The man of God, the mighty man of God, when all the things that God had done for him and shown him. The tipping point of a Noah. After all the things God had shown him, and he finds himself naked and drunk before his children. How about the place where Moses, all of the things that God had done and shown him, and yet in anger he breaks the tablets. How about the place of David? All of that wondrous glory God had shown him, and yet he succumbs to seeing a woman taking a bath on a rooftop. The Apostle Paul, despairing of his own life. I think about these things, and the tipping points of our lives, brothers and sisters, put on full display how weak we are. Completely weak, completely unfaithful, but they are all so sweetly willed, and planned by God. Amen. Willed and planned by God. I'm so thankful that the Lord so touched my heart. And I think he did it especially with Peter. When Jesus turns to Peter and he says to him, son, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Three times. He tells him, honey, devil's going to sift you like wheat, son. But I've prayed for you. And it wasn't that he was just praying for him then. He prayed for him in beginning. Because this was all laid out. Praise God. Under the will, the plan. And that event is even the very word of God. Amen? Because it's written in the word. Now we know that Jesus is able to do anything, everything. Amen? There's nothing hard for him. As he said, I could call 10,000 angels. My father could end this right now. But this is the word of God. And nothing's going to stop the word of God. It's over all. Jesus could have stopped Peter. Jesus could have stopped him right there and said, Peter, I don't want you to do this, son. Because I don't want you to fail. I don't want you to deny me. And it was so precious to my heart when it really hit me. This is the word of God. This was before time, before creation. This was the same yesterday, today, and forever. This wasn't changing. And this was the word of God in Peter's life. And this had to happen. This had to be for Peter to take the place that God had intended for him with his grace from ages past. It couldn't have been any different because the word of God is perfect. And the word of God is perfect in our lives. And the perfect will of God and the tipping points that we have is absolutely appointed. It's assured. It's willed. And it's planned of God. Now, I know people will say, well, what did Pastor say? And all I can say is, you heard me. You heard me. I'm really beginning to see this more and more. I'm coming into the understanding and the faith that truly the tipping points of our lives are exactly what Jesus was saying to us. Greater things you will do than I did. Greater things. And you, I know you're saying, well, wait a second. How could a greater thing be that? Jesus couldn't fail. Jesus never did. And I believe wholeheartedly his glory, his waiting, his experience that he never had is the glory that he shares with me in my failure. His hiding place is my down setting. He's awaited for me to come when I make my bed in hell. And just as I couldn't experience things with him that he had to do, this was something that he could not enter into because he could not fail. And here, praise the Lord. Greater things than I did ye shall do. I bring him to a place of fellowship with me that magnifies his grace. I bring him to a place of fellowship with me that exalts his mercy. Jesus didn't turn his head on Peter that last time he denied him. He looked at him, and I could tell you what he said. I've never left you, son. I'm here. This is our journey together, son. Remember, I told you this would be. I told you your infirmities would be the place that my very power would come and rest upon you. The place that you never wanted, Peter. You boasted you would never deny me. You boasted the others might, but you wouldn't. But oh no, this was the place that I awaited for us to come, son. To have fellowship, for you to understand my mercy and my grace and my love for you that will never change. Never. And that my grace that awaited for that moment to catapult you to trusting me and knowing that if you be for me, Lord, who could be against me? Brothers and sisters, this is the place only the grace of God can give us the strength, that can give us, praise God, the hope to rise up and overcome. You think of this. And I look at Elijah here. After such a marvelous act of mercy and grace and the power of God, he was there basically alone. And they had all come against him. All of these false prophets to destroy God's man. And God knew from the very beginning, this is just going to magnify me, son. And here in just a moment of time, he's despairing of his own life over one woman who basically says, I'm going to take your head. We can never have confidence in ourselves. We can never have confidence even to the appointment of what God has placed us to. I don't have confidence in being a pastor. I don't have confidence in being a teacher. I don't have confidence, in a sense, in being a dad or a husband. My confidence is in him. Amen. I know that he'll perform the good work which he's begun in us. And I know that work, praise the Lord, is all of the things that we experience and all the things that he's called us to. But they're all the after effect. All he's asked us, hold that fast which you have. Amen. Treasure it. Enjoy it. I'll take care of all the in-between. And isn't that interesting? We're always so consumed about the in-between, about the daily. And yet, the whole thing, praise God, the whole expectation of heaven right now, it's not about the moments in the day-to-day. Heaven is at one attention right now. And that's for the cry of the bridegroom's voice. All his friends, they're not talking about the day-to-day events. They are focused on one thing. I know it's hard for us to even comprehend that. You say, you mean that's really what it's all about? That's really what it's all about. That's what is written over and over in this precious word from the very beginning. It's about a man and his wife. It's about God's son that's going to have a wife. Every single type, every single shadow, every single book, scripture, all continues to point for the wife, for the Lamb of God. It's his glory. It's the only thing that he awaits right now to be magnified and take the throne as God from his Father. That's it. This is the absolute message as we read in Colossians. It says it so beautifully. What was given to Paul completes Jesus. Amen. It fulfills the word of God. The word of God is Jesus. It fulfills Jesus. Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you understand really, truly? And you do, because as we started today, and we know, it's not how I feel. It's not even what I think. It's what I know. And the reason I know, and you know, is because you know what your Lord said to you? Let this mind, my mind, be in you. My mind. My mind thinks for you. My mind is the decision maker. My grace is sufficient. Now last week, I think maybe on a Wednesday or so, you know, sometimes if I get to thinking with this, it gets a little bit confused. Paul said, the good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. But he said, but yet I know. I know, and I thank the Lord that I know. I thank him. I'm not despairing any longer. I get this. I get who I am in Christ. I understand my life. I understand I'm in this weakened flesh. And as Paul says in such magnificence, glory, I thank the Lord that with this flesh, you know what? I do. I serve sin. But with this mind, the new man, I serve the law. I serve, praise God, my Lord. See, I know who's in me. I know who's for me. I thank God that, you know, praise the Lord, we live by faith. And I do believe that the Lord does will failure in our lives. Absolutely. How would you ever know the grace of God without failing? How would you ever understand mercy if you didn't absolutely blow it? Come on. Without failure, we would not know the depths of grace. If failure wasn't good for us, why is it the plan of God that he put us in this weakened flesh, this sinful flesh? And then he put us in the realm, this world, this earth, where the prince and the power of this air is, the devil himself, the tempter. You're going to fail. You are. You're going to come up short. You're not going to be able to get it done. But this isn't the excuse to give up. No, because we know. It's not the excuse to go out and fail intentionally. Oh, no. No, 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 because we know. But I'll tell you what it is the excuse for and the reason for, to praise the Lord. To praise the Lord that you're wise unto salvation. Do you know that? You're wise to this. And you're not ignorant of the devil's devices. That's right. All the enemy wants to do is to get you to look away from the Word of God. All the enemy wants you to do is to look what you can do as opposed to what the Lord already finished. He wants you to try to reason with your own mind, with man's religious mind, and how man thinks the outward appearance should be when the Lord all the time is looking on that heart. That's the truth. And we can go right back to the Word of God again. And you know how Jesus even showed that those disciples, they still couldn't get past looking on the outward appearance. Peter was still enamored with himself. He really was. Lord, I will never forsake you. I won't desert you. I'm looking at that heart, Peter, because if I was looking at that outward appearance, I sure wouldn't like you right now. Or there they were, huh? Come on. There was that woman at the well. Those brothers should have been running over there. Jesus wanted to go see her. I don't want to tell Jesus what not to go see. I don't want to have to tell Jesus, well, Jesus, don't you know that we don't hang around those sorts? That's not what, you know, us Christians do. That's not who we go after. Outward appearance. What do you think? I think it's pretty evident. That's our Lord. And that's why, by the grace of God, we need to see with the Word of God and move with the Word of God and the spiritual restore and the spiritual love, and they love the Word of God. Now, brothers and sisters, I will tell you this. This is an ingenious plan. It really is. The plan of our complete weakness magnifies His grace to the fullest. Faith, praise God, in Him, hallelujah, is our bastion and hope of deliverance. And I get beside myself to thank the Lord. Lord, I am in all Your perfect and complete will. How could you say that? You don't always do what's right. But I know He did. And that's my bastion of hope always. That's my thanksgiving and praise continually. Now, think of this. Think of this. If the perfect will of God was for me to always make the right decision, flee every appearance of evil, never be brought under the clutches of temptation, then where would my faith be but in me? I've met too many Christians whose faith is in them. I've met too many Christians that are trying to make other people's lives right, as opposed to say, Jesus just loves you. How are you going to get through to somebody? How are you going to get through to your kids? Yeah, we have all these different techniques and trying. Get on your knees and pray. Give them the Word of God. And give the Word of God in love. Don't give the Word of God to accomplish your... And you can put whatever you want after that. I want the Word of God to restore. I want you to rise up like Elijah and eat. And just to encourage us. Hey, you know what? We've grown up in this truth. This is what we have. The Lord's called us to this. We didn't end up some other place. And we weren't going to. This has always been ours because He gave this to us. And He didn't tell us that we're supposed to try to make it look this way or be this way. No. He said, I just want you to believe. Because we're going to break camp over and over and over. We're going to go through different things. And you're going to be amongst different ones. You're going to come to it that there's going to be a cutting away. And those that you might even thought were so faithful, God said they weren't the ones that had the fully purposed heart. They might have looked like it, but it wasn't there. Now, brothers and sisters, I know there'll be some that will hear this, and I thank God. You can do it if you want to. You can accuse me that this brother, he encourages other brethren to fail. And I'd say this, you know better than that. I pray you do. I never want to encourage you to ever let down. You fight that good fight. You're thankful. You're not ignorant of the devil's devices. You get it. You know that you have no strength. And you know that you need to be immersed in this word. Constantly, continually. That you don't want to forsake the assembling and gathering of yourselves together. That you know what? You can't abide faithful, but he does. Always. Now, but I am going to tell you this, and I'm going to tell you the truth. This is God's plan for your life. And this plan of God for your life is to know his mercy. Oh, yes, it is. And your deep need continually of mercy. And I pray that you would have a joy and a thanksgiving and a song of praising God for his mercy continually. Because it's just his mercy that you're here today, that I'm here today. It's his mercy that I think of him. That I, praise God, have a heart for him. Praise God that there's just this mercy that showers my life moment by moment by moment. That I melt before him. I come apart and say, Lord, you just have me. You have me. You've had me in beginning. You've have me. Now, when your flesh completely surprises you, when you get overtaken in a fault, well, instead of being destroyed, praise God, here comes the grace. Do you know that too? And here comes the more grace, and here comes the mercy, and here comes the more mercy. Because this word sustains us. This bridal message, the message of the lover of your soul, never stops loving you. And loving you in that fullest, and loving you purely in that grace, and loving you fully in that mercy. My precious wife did not marry me because I'm always good. Because I'm always right. It's because she loves me. This spouse, there's nothing to compare. And you know him. And you know the bridegroom. You know this message. Now, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what. When that more grace comes, he's performing the greater things than even parting a sea. It's more outstanding to heaven than walking on water. It brings the faith. I'm getting ready to be put on display. Huh? Do you think that one that's going to be put on display, it's because they're just so fully righteous in themselves? Or it's because the only righteousness they know they got is his? And how did you get all that righteousness? I believe it was by the blood of the Lamb. Dead in our trespasses and sin sounds like a lot of mercy to me. And his great love wherewith we're loved. In that state of such death and disgusting. Oh, the mercy. See, it brings the faith, brothers and sisters, that all the downsetting is clothing me with all the riches of his glory. All of it. His vessels of mercy are clothed with the riches of his glory. It brings the faith that all my infirmity is filling me with the power of his resurrection. And it brings the faith that all the lowliness is building the masterpiece of grace to reign in his throne. Beside yourself. There might need to be some others that might want to take note. You might want to be beside yourself. What you think? Let's pray. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, you're seeking. Father, you're seeking. And here we are. And Lord, thank you that we've happened upon grace. And oh, what a mother load of glory you've given. And Jesus, help us truly to just be a thankful people, rejoicing. Lord, this fellowship that you've given, God, let us just love one another more and more. Let this just increase. Lord, let us love one another with the love that you love us with. Lord, let that magnify you in the work that you're doing. And God, if you tarry today and we go over it here to this sweet time of this picnic, in Jesus' name, bless us. Nourish our body with the food and keep us safe. Let us have such sweet fellowship. And Lord, we just look to you for everything. We thank you again for this day. I thank you with my brethren that we did not miss this. And we know it's soon, and we know you're coming. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.